Good afternoon, everybody out there in internet radio land all around the world. This is Blake Ruby, the host for Gods and Goddesses. Welcome to my show. I hope you've all been all right this last week. I was just talking with Dawn, and it's been a rough time here in Texas. As you've heard, I'm sure, ourselves here in our house, we haven't been impacted that much. At the beginning, we had a pipe break when the temperatures got really low, like in the teens, and we have two hose pipes on the outside of the building. One of them sprung a leak, and I had to call in the plumber, but we couldn't get here till the next day, so we had to turn the water off overnight. And when the plumber came and fixed the leak, turned the water back on, and you know, the water didn't flow because it was frozen somewhere. And so the plumber told me, well, just take a space heater and aim it towards the water heater, which is in the garage, which I did. And maybe about 5-6 hours later, the water started flowing again. So that was relieving. And because I was worried about all kinds of bills, you know, other pipes breaking in the house, leaks, you know, thousands of dollars of damage, but it didn't happen. And but a lot of other people here in San Antonio and around Texas were really impacted. Their power was off. Ours wasn't at all during this cold weather. And some people are without water. I mean, restaurants are without water. I stopped by Taco Bell today to get some food, and they were closed. And Wendy's, I stopped by there. They didn't have any French. They didn't have a lot of stuff besides French fries and certain items on the menu. Well, so what does that tell you? Global warming? You know, this is like an historic cold snap that came through here, an Arctic front. And, oh, my God. Really cold weather. It reminded me of my days living in Canada. I was born and raised in Canada. I'm a U.S. citizen now, but I was in Canada from 1954 when I was born to 1971. For the exception of 2 years, my dad was in the Canadian Army, so we were stationed overseas in Germany, two different locations, 1 year apiece in Hamer and Zoist. Other than that, we were in Ontario, we were in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick a couple of times, and then we wound up in Ottawa, the capital. And we left there in 1971 on a cold January night, loaded up the car. My parents had just bought a 1963 Pontiac. My dad paid $300 for it. And the guy even threw in a couple of seat cushions. And we loaded up that car with all of our belongings. And we had put some other stuff in storage. Two cats, my mother and father and me, and we drove south of the Canadian-American border all the way down to Texas and the Mexican-American border, and then 600 miles south of that to the beautiful city, 5,200 feet above sea level of Guadalajara, Mexico. And there, I did my 11th and 12th grades and graduated and then moved to San Diego. But while we were there in Guadalajara, oh, my God, what a time. I went to the American High School, Guadalajara, had a lot of friends there. And it was a very memorable time, a dangerous time, too, because I was very young and reckless back then and drove my car like a race car. So I'm fortunate to be alive, thanks to God. I was going to say at the very beginning, and I've mentioned this before, the music that introduces my show that BBS Radio, Doug, actually, found that piece of music for me. I like it so much because it reminds me of the call of the wild, or I should say the call of the soul. And that's what my show is about. It speaks to spirituality, the mysteries of the soul, which really shouldn't be mysteries, you know. The time is always right for evolution, my friends. There's no sense in holding back on what we know. We can tell each other things, you know. Make this world a better place. Some people might say, well, when you do that, you kind of open up Pandora's box. I don't know whoever came up with that term, you know. And it's true that some organizations like the Rosicrucians, for example, who are a very old organization that go back thousands of years to Egypt and the pyramids and mysticism. And I was a member of them. My mother was a member for 22 years, I believe. She had all these degrees. And their philosophy is that you can only tell people so many things. Otherwise, they're not going to understand it. They won't accept it. They won't believe it. And I think I disagree with that, because you don't have to listen to my show if you don't want to. You can do whatever else you want to do. But if you tune in, I'm going to tell you what's on my mind, what I know. Knowledge is power. And really all that I know I've learned from other people, from books, conversations I've had, research on the internet, just thinking about it, you know, introspection, kind of piecing my reality system together like a jigsaw puzzle, one piece at a time. And so I talk about extraterrestrials, I talk about near-death experiences, and I think, and I've mentioned this before on previous shows, we're stuck right now. Our whole civilization on Earth is stuck in a gap. I call the Copernican gap, because once upon a time, people of the world, just like you and me, alive. I mean, we're alive. Isn't that amazing? We're actually alive right now. Tomorrow we could be dead, you know, passed away 10 years from now, 20 years. Hopefully we live to be a ripe old age, right? I mean, I don't think tomatoes want to die. You know, we want to live. We believe in life. Freedom, happiness, joy, living to be a ripe old age, having all the great things that are available, you know, the pleasures of life, raising a family, watching them grow and prosper, doing well ourselves, having sufficient money to take care of our needs, you know, to handle emergencies. And so the helicopter over there in the distance looks like a life flight. Branching off into another subject, the sun is setting over in the distance, and I've noticed that every Saturday when I've started my show, with the exception of last Saturday when it was too cold to be out here, and I'm out here on the patio, and I was upstairs, but I've noticed how the sun is setting just a little bit. It's taking a little while longer for the sun to disappear over the horizon, because as the world is turning on its axis, you know, and we're moving from wintertime to springtime, especially here in South Texas, the sun is setting later. And I'm so sorry for my peach tree. I've got a peach tree and plum tree in my backyard. The plum tree, I think, might be dead, but the peach tree had showed signs of life. Last year was the first year in, like, several years. I bought these trees back in 2011. Well, the peach tree had been producing tons of, lots of peaches over the years, with the exception of last year, when it looked like half of it went dead, and half of it was covered with leaves, and the other half was barren, you know? And so it had already begun to blossom, and it had buds on it. And even some flowers had begun to bloom, but then the cold weather came, and I don't know if it's going to survive now. It looks like it will. And we're kind of out of the woods here in Texas now. It's going to warm up to about 70 degrees tomorrow. It's already like 50-some degrees, which is the highest it's been all week, you know, in a week. Anyway, back to what I was saying, you know, I talk about these spiritual things because I believe the time is right. The time is always right to share what we know. And in regard to spirituality, I think we always have a green light to talk about these kind of what previously been known as esoteric subjects, you know, the soul, extraterrestrials. So I was mentioning the Copernican gap, you know. We're stuck not knowing if there's life out there elsewhere in the universe. And it's not a good place to be in. Like I mentioned, at one time, people like you and I thought that the world was flat. Can you believe that? You know? And then at one time, people thought that the world was at the center of the universe. People like you and I right now who lived, who breathed, who walked on this earth, who ate food, just like us, in every way, just different, and over in another area of the world, but alive, alive like us. And they thought that the earth was at the center of the universe. Isn't that amazing? And now, we don't know for sure if there's life out there. Logically, there is life. And, hey, Shakira, come here. Come on. Come on. Hey, one of our dogs is barking. Come on. No barking during my show, please. Thank you very much. And the future, our evolution as a species, as human beings, is going to involve us being a part of the intergalactic community. You can slow it down. You can delay it, but it's going to happen. Sooner or later, people are going to become more intelligent as part of our evolution. As we live one day after another, we're going to be wiser. Every day that you live, you're wiser. You're more intelligent. And your logic is going to override these traditional beliefs you've had before in the past. And when I talk about logic, you know what I mean, deductive reasoning. So I love doing this. As I've done it on previous shows, if you listen to some of my shows before in the past. But if you're new to listening to my show, I'll say this. Kind of like Joel Osteen does when he begins his service, you know, pick up your Bible, say it like you mean it. He does it at the beginning of every show. This is my Bible. I believe in it. Blah, blah. Go on. You know, I can't remember what else he says. I love Joel Osteen, too, by the way. I think he's great. He's just one of the best public speakers that I've known. And I'm a firm believer in public speaking as a way to improve yourself and be a better person. What you doing out here eating your food? You got some food inside to be eating, huh? You're eating her food, and okay, I can't. She can do her own thing. That's cool. So my thing is, I say, with all this life here on Earth, you've got over a million types of insects. You've got over 30,000 types of fish in the lakes, rivers, seas, oceans. There's over 10,000 types of reptiles and birds. Imagine that. Oh, so many different varieties of life. It's a veritable paradise of life here on Earth. A beautiful world. And then there's 9,000 types of amphibians. Check it out on the internet. Over 5,000 types of mammals. All the flowers and trees. Thousands of different types, right? And then fruits and vegetables. If all this life here on Earth that I just mentioned happened by accident, logically, anybody who is reasonable, is logical, is intelligent enough, will agree that if all this life happened by accident, it can happen by accident elsewhere in the universe, anywhere in the universe, and we are home. The universe is our home. We are part of the universe, my friends. We are people that belong to the universe. We wouldn't be alive if it hadn't been for the Supreme Creator to have initiated that creation of the material universe all those billions of years ago. We wouldn't be alive today if it hadn't been for the Supreme Creator who created something out of nothing. So logically, there is life out there. But let me go further and say, if there is a creator, a supreme creator, if you're a little bit skeptical and doubting whether there is a creator who made all this, like with a magic wand, kind of spoke these words, everything into existence from the power of his or her will, then if the creator was powerful and knowledgeable enough to create this life here on earth, all this life, then logically, right, logically, that creator would have the power and the knowledge to create either the same or different life elsewhere, anywhere in the universe. And I do mean anywhere, A-N-Y-W-H-E-R-E, anywhere in the universe, anywhere. And you know how big the universe is. Oh, my God, it is a humongous place. And the space out there, dark energy and dark matter, notice that we are revolving around the sun, rotating on an axis. We have half a day of light and half a day of darkness. Ooh, it was meant to be that way. Why? So we could learn from the darkness, because we are spirits and souls, beings of light, made of light energy. And we came here. We were born into this world because we existed before as a spirit. You see, the spirit doesn't die. And you've got one inside your body. You know that. Just as sure as angels exist, you have a spirit in your body. And that spirit will live on after we transition from this material life, which is finite, right? The soul is infinite, eternal, immortal. The soul is the brain of the spirit. Just like you have a brain in your physical body, like we have brains in our physical body. So the soul is the brain of the spirit and has all our past life memories. And it has instant access to universal knowledge. But in the meantime, I guess one of the creator's plans is for us to grow our light. So we are here to grow our light. It's like we are born with the soul, which is illuminating, you know, which is luminous. Let's say you're born with a 40-watt bulb kind of light, and you want to increase your light so that you can just evolve, because that's what we're doing. And hopefully by the end of your life here on Earth, you will have increased your light to maybe a 60, 70, 100-watt bulb, just as an example, you know. And all you do from the moment you're born to the day you die, whether it is a long time or a short time, should be dedicated towards that endeavor, increasing your light. And one way to increase your light is to be spiritual. I'm not talking about religion, which, you know, is a money-making business. Now, consider this logically. Each and every one of us, I believe, is a co-creator God in the making. In other words, you are going through that soul's journey in the process of evolution. We all pass away from this life, dust to dust. Our bodies will leave behind. We'll go to a place, a land of light, a world of light, somewhere in the universe, somewhere maybe in the solar system. I don't have any definite proof of that. And then you'll hang out there for a while, enjoy the activities, all the people that have lived here on Earth. You'll mingle with them. You'll be joyful. No bodily functions, no worries, no issues, no pain, no suffering. And then you'll get on with your business of your soul's journey to continue in that process of spiritual development to another planet, maybe in the Milky Way galaxy. Maybe back here on Earth is possible. This world here, as beautiful and as wonderful as it is, however, is what is known throughout the universe. Not, believe me, I've done some research on people that have contacted extraterrestrials, and extraterrestrials who are out there watching us now, listening. We're known as the planet of sorrows. Planet of sorrows. Why? Because guess what? Surprise! We've had a lot of wars in the past, in case you forgot. I'm not saying we should have any more. That'd be great if we could have peace. Do you think that's possible? I hope so. I certainly do. You know, there's no reason really to kill our fellow human beings for no good reasons, you know. Doesn't make any sense to kill each other. I mean, even though we do on the highways, too. I mean, but still, if you rationalize it, most of these wars were in our past were because people, they couldn't communicate with each other. They couldn't be diplomatic. They had to fight, you know. And then it was a revenge trail, you know, always seeking vengeance for some wrong that was done. And so it went on and on, a chain reaction, if you will. Unstoppable, it seems, you know. Unfortunate, to say the least, but that's the way it is on a lower evolutionary planet. And I've talked about this before in previous shows. The universe has planets, and you know that. They're discovering planets every day. The Kepler telescope is discovering planets every day. These planets are divided into different categories from 1 to 9. Number 9 is the number of the universe, remember? And planet Earth is a number 1. And then there are some out there which are number 9, and every level in between are different levels of evolution. People who get along with each other, hey, you know, who love each other, adore each other. We should be adoring each other when you can think that, hey, you and I, we could die in a second. I don't want to be morbid, but it's possible, right? We should be living like every day is our last day. You've heard that before. So why aren't we doing it? Because we're caught up in the confusion that's going on. There's so much data coming at us from everywhere. You know, the atmosphere is bombarding us, the weather, you know. It's a lot to process. But one thing you can say about religion that does get people on the right path, I believe, and I will always believe, that it's better to be talking, it's better to talk about God than not talk about God. It's better to talk about Jesus than not talk about Jesus. It's better to talk about Muhammad or Buddha or Vishnu rather than not, you know. And the believers have an advantage over the non-believers, I think, because we take all this, what we learned, with us, you know. And so now let me change the subject to extraterrestrials. And I just have proven to you that they're out there, right? Life elsewhere. Can you imagine what they must look like? Because when you consider all this life on Earth, as I mentioned, all the different types of insects with their eyes and antennas and wings, some of them, their little bodies, and birds, you know, with their eyes and their beaks and their feathers, and snakes with their eyes and their tongues, and how they slither, and fish, all the different types of fish, the big fish, the small fish, eels, whales. Eyes, they have eyes too, amazing creatures, and mammals, you know, well, actually, whales are mammals, and dolphins, and human beings are mammals. So we are obviously created, we were created by a creator who is a master of life, of creating life. Of every kind, every variety, all that you know of, and things that you don't know of, things that you can't imagine that are out there, different types of skin, hair, you know, tall, short, human beings I've heard that exist out there that are maybe 3 feet tall, just like us, but 3 feet tall, and are very advanced technologically. Some that are 10 feet tall, kind of like ghosts, if you will, and some that are wide, that have blue skin, and kind of like feathers for hair, that have green teeth, and are very advanced technologically. Others that are the grays, you know, that have big dark eyes, kind of slanted, pointy ears like Mr. Spock. 5 feet tall, you know, either gray skin or tan skin with a greenish tinge. And thousands of other varieties, variations in between, you know. It's amazing, really. So the point is the creator can do anything, right? I said that. The creator can do anything. If you have magic, if you're magic, let's say you have magic powers, right, like the creator has, what would limit you in your creativity? Nothing would. You would be creating things all the time, and you'd be getting pretty good at it now, by now, after billions of years, right? And just think, you know, our lifespans are, you know, a male lifespan is, what, 79, 80 years, females, maybe a couple of years more. Some animals, you know, they don't live too long, but other animals like whales and dolphins, you know, they can live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. A lot of animals, much less, you know. They're only here on Earth for maybe half our lifespan or less, you know, a third, a quarter. And it's amazing. Trees, for example, you could think about all the different varieties of tree. Take an oak tree, for example. They can live to be 100, 200 years old. You know, they grow huge. They grow incredibly large. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to turn the light on. It's getting dark. Well, my friends, time seems to fly when I'm on my show here. Many thanks to BBS Radio for this opportunity. It's well worth it, I think, sharing what I know, what I've learned from other people. And I like saying that because it's true. And I don't want to take all the credit myself. I have to share it with the people I've known. Plus, it makes me feel better knowing you don't think I made all this up. You know, I've got lots of books that I reference. In my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, which is available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. It's not a perfect publication, if you will. I kind of rushed into it, and there are some typographical errors, punctuation errors in there, but not much. Basically, if you could overlook that, I would, especially if the material was interesting, I wouldn't care, really. But it needs to be republished. And I will get to that eventually, but in the meantime, if you want to see everything I'm talking about written down in about 80 pages with 30 chapters and lots of references, books that I read that I gleaned my information from, check it out. I believe it's free. Dang, I haven't gotten like 1 cent in royalties from that. I was hoping to make some money, but no big deal. So my Bible, I love the Bible. You know what I love best about the Bible? And I'm not a religious person, per se, necessarily. I consider myself more a Christian than any other religion. But I don't agree with everything the Bible says. But I recognize the truth in the Bible and other areas which aren't so truthful, I think. I recognize that it's an account of divine intervention before and in our past, like no other book recounts, that's not a word, recalls, accounts for. Yes, divine intervention, like the world was never seen, like the miracles that Jesus performed. I think that's awesome. And Moses performed miracles. And I believe also, if you've ever heard of a book called Chariots of the Gods by Eric von Daniken, that there's a lot of references in the Bible to extraterrestrial intervention in our past, like the parting of the Red Sea, and especially with helping Jesus. That's a whole other subject, my friends. So suffice it to say that the Bible is full of incredible history of our past, including divine intervention, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, the Star of Bethlehem, angels appearing, although I believe it could be, they could have been confused with extraterrestrials, but then again, that's another subject. And the Bible kind of shines, my way of describing it, as shining with a light, if you will, of wisdom and holiness. So I'm one of these Christians who believes most of the Bible, but not all of it. Some people are just totally, you know, whatever it says, it's fine by me. You know, I'm going to put my whole heart and soul into believing everything. Well, you can. You can do that. But that's not where my head's at. I think, you know, on my soul's journey, as I evolve, I realized what I've realized, and I'm 66 years old, too, you know, that the Bible has been like, and religion has been a stepping stone for me to get to where I am today. One way of describing it is like I've graduated from that, you know, kind of like graduating from one grade to another. And now I, because I don't want to get into a debate, you know, with people, because I've had those debates before and no one seems to win, you know, and it just brings about hard feelings. So I've said a lot of good things about the Bible and I still believe them. But you know that people have gone to war because other people didn't believe what they believed. You know, war, actually, people killing each other because they didn't believe what they believed. You had to believe back then, you know, like the Inquisition or, you know, the Christians who were persecuted by Rome, who were tarred and set on fire, who were thrown into arenas and eaten by wild animals, you know, all because they didn't believe what other people believed. And so it's going on for many centuries, my friends. What I'm telling you is nothing new. But suffice it to say, you're entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to mine. If you're listening to my show, then you must like some of what I say, if not most of what I say. So tonight is a very special night. I think it's another one of those ET conscious nights, where you go out and look up at the stars, the suns in the sky, you know, out there, those suns, which are really, yeah, stars, not suns, not stars, but suns. They're also called stars, but in essence, what they really are a sun with planets revolving around it. As I mentioned, the Kepler Space Telescope is discovering more and more planets each day. As we speak, they're discovering new planets. So it should, somebody hopefully will come out soon and say, guess what? When you look up there at those stars in the sky, well, they really have like 8 or 9, 10 planets revolving around them. It's amazing. That will be part, when they do come out finally, I haven't heard it. They might have said it already. I don't know. I don't think so. But when they do, that's another step in a positive direction to where we can finally make contact with the ETs out there who just hanging by, kind of like, yeah, they're going through their evolution thing, you know. They're doing cool stuff, like we landed a rover on Mars, you know. They allow that. Now, you have to believe me, please. The ETs out there, they wouldn't let this stuff happen if they didn't have faith in us. They have the means, and I've read about it, so I probably know more about this than you. You have to believe me. They can stop every single spaceship that we try to launch into orbit if they wanted to. They have the means to do that. And some ferocious species on other planets throughout the universe have been kept from outer space because they were going to take their warlike ways into outer space. Space is supposed to be a peaceful domain. And war is not allowed in outer space. It's happened, and probably still happening, different regions of the universe, but those beings are ultimately going to pay for their sins, so to speak. They will be held accountable for their destructiveness and their negative nature, but that's another subject topic altogether. So they're out there, and that was pretty cool, us landing a rover on Mars. That is some pretty great technology. My hat is off. Many kudos to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, all the people working on that Mars project. I'm so proud of them for being so smart, for being very smart. You know, that's a lot of intelligence to do that. How far away is Mars? They were talking on television on CNN the other day, 300 million miles. I don't think it's 300 million miles. It's like 33 million miles, if I'm not mistaken. It was like a six-month voyage, and they put the spaceship in orbit around Mars, and then they dropped that probe, and, you know, everything has to work out right. You know, they deploy the parachute, and then they fire the thrusters, you know, and it hits the ground, it bounces, you know, because it's covered all with foam kind of, it's like a foam-like material, maybe some air in there, like an air mattress, protecting the inner cargo, you know, the rover, and that's amazing. I'm so proud of them. May God bless them. The Joint Jet Propulsion Laboratory, all the people in NASA working to help us explore the universe, you know, that's where it's at, my friends, you know. Many hundreds of years ago, we were exploring the world we hadn't discovered. And now, just like in Star Trek, its mission was to go boldly where no man has gone before. We still need to do that. But surprise, I'm sure it's not a surprise, really. These ETs are out there, and they're actively exploring the universe. And believe it or not, they're still coming across regions of the universe that have previously been uncharted. That will tell you about how large the universe actually is, and the edges of infinite space are expanding as we speak, you know, and new solar systems are being formed as we speak, and new suns are being born as we speak. It's an amazing thing, you know, and we're home. That's our home. The universe is our home, and our intergalactic brothers and sisters are out there just waiting for us to kind of grow up, you know. We're like kindergarten children in comparison to them, and they want to help us. They want us to be a part of the community. But until we're ready, then it's not going to happen. And certain things have to take place before we can be in that community. You know, the fighting. You know, stuff like 9/11 happening. It tells them of a depraved kind of species, you know. I mean, most people in the world are good, decent people. And it's just a small minority who are the troublemakers, the bullies, the tyrants, the dictators, you know. So I was saying my Bible, my favorite book is called Abduction to the Ninth Planet, about a man who was abducted in Australia in the late 80s and taken to a planet in our Milky Way galaxy, which is one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced. There is a race of extraterrestrials living there who are hermaphrodite, kind of like transgender, if you will. They can reproduce their own cells, you know, so they can live indefinitely, you know, kind of what I've heard some people saying human beings are meant to be like that, you know, that we're meant to, we were created to live for many, many years, you know. From what I've learned, a lot of species in the universe do have a finite end, you know. Some can even live to be 20,000 years old. Others, since they can regenerate their cells, can live for an indefinite period of time. But anyway, these extraterrestrials live on a Category 9 planet, which is the most developed in the universe as far as atmospheric conditions, the life that lives there, the water, the air is pristine and pure. There's no fighting, no war. Animals don't eat each other. And that's a big thing, you know, here on Earth. That one thing we have to deal with is that we eat each other, you know, kind of. I mean, we eat other animals, which speaks of our lower evolutionary status, you know, when you get to a higher evolutionary status, I don't mean to offend anyone, but that's the reality of the situation, I believe, from what I've learned. And that's okay. I mean, we have to. Sometimes, you know, as we grew up on this world and we had to survive, pioneers who came to America, who traveled west, and they would live off the land, you know. They would shoot deer and, for meat or fish, and they would grow vegetables. So it's all part of the Creator's plan. But when you talk about a higher evolutionary planet, they don't do that. So just take it out like it is. You know, it is what it is. And that's not good or bad. That's just the way it is. But this book I'm talking about, it's an amazing read. If you want to read it, it's on the Internet. It also has another name called Tayo Uba, The Golden Planet. So Tayo Uba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A. Excuse me. I'm drinking this water. It's called Essentia. I bought it today. I like it. Overachieving H2O. Pretty good water. And I'm a connoisseur of water. Some people might just, you know, buy any old case of water, but I can tell the difference in water. And there's some I like and others I don't like. That's just me. You know, I'm entitled to my opinion. So I'm going to read from you, for you, from this book. And as I was mentioning, this man, he lived in Australia. His name is Michael Desmarquette. He was French. He passed away recently, may God bless his soul. He was a great man and an incredible author, too. Very funny, very humorous. And some people have a gift for telling things like it is, you know. And he was one of them. And that's probably why they chose him. They appeared in their spaceship, these extraterrestrials did. And it was, and they've been monitoring us for thousands of years. In fact, they're the ones, some of the ones that have intervened in our past, in our history. And so they're about 9 feet tall, as I mentioned, hermaphrodite, male and female. And their features are beautiful. So they have bosoms, and they have the male genitalia also, and female genitalia. Very incredible. And they're, I mean, 9 feet tall, so they're strong, incredibly intelligent, and they have beautiful hair, facial features, eyes, just beautiful teeth, and they're very, very intelligent and knowledgeable on how the universe operates, you know, and everything that you want to know. It's in this book, an incredible book. So Michael goes to this planet for 10 days. Their spaceship is circular, about 70 meters in diameter, and it can go several times, many times past the speed of light. When you go from A to B in the universe, you know, you can. One way of doing it is in conventional mode, kind of like our spaceships that go into outer space, you know, they're propelled by rocket fuel, you know, they go up to maybe 40,000 miles an hour. The Voyager 1 and 2 spacecraft have exited our solar system about a billion years away, a billion miles away, and they're traveling at about 40,000 miles per hour. Around orbiting the Earth, they can travel, they travel at a lesser speed, 17,000, 18,000 miles per hour. But Einstein was correct in saying that nothing can go faster than the speed of light in the material universe. However, when you get up to that, to the speed of light, 188,000 miles per second, then the object, the spacecraft that you're in, the mass, because objects' mass starts to close in, contract, you know. And so there's a lot of energy pressing upon the spacecraft when it does approach the speed of light, and they know how to convert that energy take that energy and use it to propel their spacecraft into another dimension, which exists out there, because space really is a fabric, you know. It's in dark energy, dark matter, and we know darkness because it's really just the absence of light, you know. When the sun is shining in a solar system, that solar system is made up of dark energy and dark matter. It's basically a fabricated reality, a created reality, because we are spirits. We came from a world of light, a spirit world. So all this material universe is made, it was made for us. It is not the real thing. It's manufactured. It's a manufactured reality, but it's an amazing, amazing thing, you know, and how it all is kept together by gravity, so to speak. And, you know, the time work is perfect. Everything functions without a glitch. And that's true all the way to the center of the universe, one solar system after another, one galaxy after another. It all operates perfectly. However, suns do burn out after so many years, you know, so many millions or maybe billions of years. You know, they supernova or they nova or they become a neutron star, whatever. But anyway, this book has so much incredible knowledge in it, and I think you would love it. He is there, and they want to take him on a trip into the past so he can look and see what things were like about 15,000 years ago. And you might have heard about that time that there was a couple of civilizations back then that were pretty advanced technologically and spiritually, called Atlantis and Lemuria. Atlantis was in the northern Atlantic Ocean, and Lemuria was in the southern Pacific Ocean. And the human beings that existed back then were very evolved, shall I say, believe it or not, just 15,000 years ago. And then there were some huge cataclysms that happened on Earth. Continents rose up, other continents submerged, volcanoes were exploding all over the planet, earthquakes everywhere. The Earth did a major reshaping of itself, which happens apparently every once in a while. So they wanted to take them back in time. They could do it because they were developed enough spiritually, but they had to give him a special drink to kind of free his astral body so that they can travel what they call through the psychosphere back in time. This is true. You can time travel, but only as an observer. You can't actually interact. You can only see. You can be there, and you can actually go through people, you know, walk through them, kind of like a ghost. You know, they can't see you. They're not aware of you. They can't hear you. But you can see everything that has happened in the past, like you were really there. So I'm going to, this chapter is called Delving into the Psychosphere. How much time do I have? Only just a couple minutes. I'll be able to do like maybe a page or two, okay? One of the extraterrestrials' name is Lacian Newsom. So he said, Michael said, we followed Lacian Newsom, who led us into another part of the Doko, which is one of their buildings there that they live in, kind of like an egg, with half the egg above the surface of the ground. The relaxation area where one can relax completely and no external sound can penetrate here. Here, Letoli, one of the other ETs, and two of the elders left us. Leishanusi, Thio, Biastra, those are the names of those three, and I remained. Thio, who is the one they talk about most in the book, that is in constant interaction with Michael, explained that because my psychic powers were not sufficiently developed and refined, and in order to participate in an important and very special experience, I would be obliged to take a special elixir, as I mentioned. It was a matter of delving into the psychosphere of the planet Earth at the time of the disappearance of Lemuria, or Mu, that is 14,500 years ago, they explained. My understanding of the term psychosphere is as follows. Around each planet, since its creation, is a kind of psychosphere or vibratory cocoon, which turns at a speed several times that of light. This cocoon acts as a blotter, as it were, absorbing and remembering absolutely every event occurring on the planet. The contents of this cocoon are inaccessible to us on Earth. We have no way of reading the story. It is well known that in the USA, researchers and technicians are employed to develop a time machine, but up to the present time, their efforts have been without success. Difficulty exists, according to Thio, in adapting to the vibrations of the cocoon rather than to wavelengths. The human being, comprising an integral part of the universe, can, because of his astral body, and if he is correctly trained, draw what knowledge he seeks from within the psychosphere. Of course, great knowledge is required for this. This elixir will allow you to access the psychosphere, Michael, said the ET to Michael. All four of us made ourselves comfortable in a special bed. I was placed in the center of a triangle formed by Thio, Biastra, and Lei Shanusi. I was handed a goblet containing a liquid, which I drank. Biastra and Thio then placed their fingers lightly on my hand and my solar plexus, while Lei Shanusi put his index finger above my pineal gland. They told me to relax completely and not be afraid, regardless of what happened. We would be traveling in astral body, and I would be under their guidance and so quite safe. That time is engraved in my memory forever. The longer Thio spoke to me softly and slowly, the less afraid I was. I must confess, however, that initially I was very frightened. Suddenly, in spite of my closed eyes, I was dazzled by the colors of the whole spectrum, which danced and shone. I could see my three companions around me, radiant with color, but at the same time translucent. The village slowly blurred below us. I had the bizarre impression that four silver cords attached us to our physical bodies, which were assuming the proportions of mountains. Suddenly, a flash of blinding white gold crossed my vision, and for some time afterwards, I neither saw nor felt anything. A ball, brilliant like the sun, but silver in color, appeared in space and approached at an incredible speed. I hurried through, for at that moment, I was no longer aware of the presence of my companions. When I had penetrated this silvery atmosphere, I could make out no more than the fog that surrounded me. It's impossible to say what time period was involved, but quite suddenly, the fog dissipated, revealing a rectangular room with a low ceiling in which two men sat cross-legged on marvelously colored cushions. The walls of the room were of finely sculptured stone blocks, scenes of contemporary civilization with clusters of grapes which seemed transparent, fruits, which I couldn't recognize, and animals too, some of which had human heads. There were also human figures. Well, I've got 1 minute left, my friends, so I'll say goodbye to you now. If you want to read more, read that book. You can buy it on the internet, Amazon.com. It's called Abduction to the Ninth Planet or Thio, the Golden Planet. So it's been good. Thank you for listening to my show. I wish you the best. Take good care of yourselves. And may the Supreme Creator of the universe bless us. Everyone. Talk to you next week. I love you. Bye-bye.